Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 37th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning. It's the 15th of November. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through personal dedication, faith, and determination, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. This week, November 14th through the 21st, is Operation Christmas Child Collection Week. This week's guest, Richard Estep, has served as network coordinator for the project since 2012 here in southeastern Colorado. He has witnessed the impact of this monumental endeavor from the starting point of packing a box and working a collection site to the final destination of distribution of gift-filled boxes in foreign countries. This morning, Richard will share his testimony of how these simple boxes hold the promise of hope in Jesus Christ and forever change the lives of countless children in a dark and dying world. Good morning, Richard, and welcome.
Good morning, Patty. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us, Richard, because I have read up quite a bit on Christmas Child. I participated in it for a long time, still do to a degree, and it is a wonderful, wonderful project. Could you start out by maybe just giving us a little overview of the project in general, in case there's folks out there who have never heard of it?
Okay, Operation Christmas Child is one of the projects of Samaritan's Purse, who's headed by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. And this project started in Wales, and it just was growing so big that they needed help, so they asked Franklin Graham to come on board, and from there it just skyrocketed. And I say that so far they have distributed over 100 million shoeboxes around the world since this project started. I think it was 1993 is when it first started. So it's a worldwide thing, and it's to reach children around the world, to give them hope, to give them a little joy. Many of these places are war-torn countries, poverty countries, and children have basically nothing. And this gives them a little hope and a little joy, and let people know that there are people around the world that do love these children, care about these children, and especially that God loves them and Jesus cares about these children. And it's to give them hope and to give them the message of salvation. And that's basically what Operation Christmas Child is in a nutshell.
Very good. Well, let me tell listeners a little bit about how they can participate, Richard, and you feel free to jump in. I know okay. Our church, many churches actually have boxes that there you can see my slideshow. There's a picture of one of the boxes, but you can take any shoebox and just pack it with simple little items. Remember, these people, like Richard said, need the very basics of life. So usually folks start out with things like a toothbrush, toothpaste, a washcloth, a bar of soap, things like that. But then we try to include in each box what we call a wow item, something that some kind of little toy that will really be fun for a young person, little games, little puzzles, school supplies, things of that nature. You pack all that into a shoebox. Each box does require $7 for shipping, and many people go ahead and put that in their box. Some people don't, and then there's other people that come along and give a check to Samaritan's Purse for that expense. We do not recommend such things as chocolate. Hard candy is fine, but chocolate does not work well when sometimes these boxes sit in 100-plus degree weather. Would not be very good. Also, stay away from any kind of item that would represent war of any kind, that would, you know, imply war. Also, remember that most of these children have absolutely no connection with the things that are common to us, such as cartoon characters, superhero characters, things like that. So any kind of clothing, more of a plain color, is better than the T-shirts that have, like, Power Rangers or whatever on them. So that's just a little brief overview. And Richard, I'll let you go into the collection site and how that goes on, because that's kind of what you've been doing for quite a while.
Yeah, the collection site. Well, the collection sites in southeast Colorado, we have 12 drop-off locations, and 10 of them are official, 2 of them are unofficial. So basically about every town in southeast Colorado, we cover 5 counties, Otero, Bent, Prowers, Kyle, and Baca County, about every town has a distribution center or a drop-off location that you can bring your box. And you bring your boxes in filled there or bring in items, and they can pack boxes for you. And from there, they carton them up and they relay them and to us at our collection center in Rocky Ford. And from there, we put them on trucks and we ship them to the processing center in Denver where they get processed and they go through the boxes. And that's basically to take out the war items and the things you were talking about, liquids, because they can break and spill. And then from there, they get distributed. The logistics for either on air cargo planes or ships, or we truck them into Mexico, and then they get distributed to the countries, and then they're distributed out and passed out to kids. So basically everything we do here, they do in reverse in the other country. So that's kind of the logistics of it. And my job, I'm kind of in charge of the logistics of getting the relay centers and the trucks and getting them their cartons and their shoe boxes and their information and their training, and then making sure they get them to us so we can get them to Denver. And that's kind of my position in the whole thing.
Very good. And have you been to the Denver distribution, to the Denver Center, Richard?
We go up there about every year, and you can volunteer. You can go online to their website, the Operation Christmas Child website in Denver, and you can make an appointment where you can take as an individual or a group and go up there and work processing shoeboxes. My wife and me last year, we worked for the entire month on staff up there, and I was unloading trucks and loading trucks and driving forklift, and she had her jobs, and so yeah, we've been through about, I've done every job there is in that warehouse. So
wow. Yeah. And our church youth group is scheduled to go up there on December 9th this year.
Yeah, I believe Betty was telling me that.
Yeah, and if there's room, I may get to go with them. We'll see. So
it's an eye-opening experience when you see that.
I'm sure. Well, Richard, you have also been on distribution trips, and I'm sure you have a lot of stories about that. So tell us, what is it like to actually see these children receive these boxes? How do they receive them? What kind of experiences have you had?
Excuse me. You can see the videos, you can see the pictures, and it's really touching and moving, but to actually be there in person and to actually see what's going on, the network teams over there, it's all, you know, I went to Zambia, Africa last year, and the teams over there, basically the teams in their country are like the teams here, it's all their native people, and they're working on getting the shoeboxes out to kids, and they have their prayer people and their teachers and the logistic people and all the same things that we have here, they have over there. And to actually witness these shoeboxes being passed out to kids and to see the looks on these kids' faces, one of the things that they talk about is when they have a distribution and they have the countdown and everybody's got their shoebox and they count down 1, 2, 3, and they say, and then they say, boy, when that distribution, they open their shoeboxes and all the kids are laughing and screaming and hollering and shouting. And the very first one we went to was about 20 miles from the capital and little remote. It was a one-room little school building. It had windows, but there was no glass. It had a doorway, but no door on it, and no chairs, dirt floor. Everybody sit on the floor. They passed out these shoeboxes. 1, 2, 3, they opened their shoeboxes, and there was no laughing. There was no hollering. You couldn't hardly get the kids to open their shoeboxes, and I was perplexed. I thought, you know, we're going to see all this excitement and laughter. And I asked Kali, he is the prayer coordinator in Zambia, you know, what was going on. And he said, well, you have to remember that all of these kids, there was about 150 of them in there. This is probably, a lot of them, this is the first time these people have probably ever been in a room alone with white people.
Wow.
They had never received a gift. So they didn't know what this was. They didn't know if there was strings attached. Were we going to give it to them and take them back? So that was different. And I was kind of disappointed not to see that. But when they let the kids go outside, then the laughter and the fun, because then they were on their own terms and it got exciting. And then you could interact with the children and get to see them playing with their yo-yos and jumping rope and doing all the fun things. So that was my first experience, and it was an eye-opener for me. So
How interesting. It just goes to show the difference in cultures, too, doesn't it, Richard?
Yes, it does. These kids, we were at a town, this little church that was 20 miles from the capital. And they said that probably over 50% of these kids would never even see the capital 20 miles away.
Goodness.
You know, and so this was just complete different experience for these kids. But it was wonderful. It was an awesome experience to see that. And
I know.
How God works in these shoeboxes. There was one distribution we were on, and there was a boy, row of boys in the backs, 10 to 14-year-old boys.
That's just the story I was going to ask you to tell.
And I'm watching them, and they're opening their shoeboxes. And the first one, he opens it up, and it's got a soccer ball. Second one, a soccer ball. Third one, a soccer ball. It gets to the fourth boy. This boy is in a wheelchair. He's crippled. He can't walk. And I thought, now this is great, because this kid's going to get a soccer ball, and he can't even walk. So what's he going to do with the soccer ball? The kid opens his box, and it has a punch ball in it. And he blows that punch ball up, and he's punching that punch ball. And I thought, wow, this is neat. And then the next boy next to him, the next three boys in a row next to him, open their boxes, and all three of them got soccer balls. So it's just amazing how God works in these boxes to get the right gift to the right kid. And we always stress, when you're packing a box, always pray, because this box is an individual child. And pray for what God would have you put in that box to get to that child. We talked to one boy, my wife did, when she went to a distribution in Ecuador. And when he was a child, he received a Nike jacket. It was the only thing in his shoebox. And how that got through without anything else in it, but the only thing in his shoebox was a Nike jacket. And he loved that jacket, and he still wears that jacket 5 years later, and he loved that jacket so much. So that was the perfect gift for that perfect child.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing the things that happen. I've heard the story of a child who was being raised in an orphanage in some other country, and the gift that he was the most thrilled about was a simple washcloth, because in that orphanage, he had to share a washcloth with I don't know how many other children, but to actually have his own washcloth to him was such a wonderful, wonderful addition to his life. And it just makes you want to break down and cry to think of all these people and how little they have.
Yeah. Just
compared
a simple
to what
washcloth.
We do. It's just very humbling, I would say.
Yes.
Well, you
school
had mentioned
supplies. School supplies are very important, because most of these children do not have the opportunity to go to school. And if they do, they have to pay, and they have to have their own school supplies. So unless they have a tablet and pencils and the basics, they can't even go to school. So these shoe boxes with school supplies, that's a godsend for a lot of those kids, because an education to them is cherished over there, and to have a school supplies where they can go to school, that's just something else for them kids.
Well, you had mentioned prayer, Richard, and I know on one of the websites I looked at, one of the things that they recommend is when a family is packing a box, or maybe more than one, to pray over that box.
Yes.
And I think you brought that up, but also at our church, we collect all the boxes on the Sunday morning of collection week, and we dedicate those boxes as well. And I think prayer is a very, very important part of the whole process, because like you say, it's amazing how God gets the right box to the right country and the right kid. And
yes, it is awesome.
It's actually miraculous. It's got to be.
You know, we try to pray with everyone that brings boxes into our collection center that are dropping them off. We pray with them right over their boxes that, you know, God would get this to the right place, that there won't be any trouble with trucking, there won't be any trouble with customs getting into other countries, and then it'll get distributed and get to the right child. And most important of all, that child will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ through that shoebox. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, and can you tell us a little more about that? Because I know that there's more that goes into the boxes than what we pack.
It's so amazing. you know, when you get there, you see the, you know, the stuff in the shoebox, the yo-yos, the paddle balls, the soccer balls, the soap, the crayons, and all this stuff. But what it's really all about is each kid in their box gets what they call the greatest gift little booklet. And they have teachers in their countries, and if it's in a different language, that teaches in their language, and these are trained teachers. And before each shoebox distribution, before they open the shoebox, they're given the greatest gift. And they go through the little booklet, and they tell the story to all the kids, plus the parents that are there, plus the kids that are outside get to hear this, the greatest gift. And it's about the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and they get to hear that for the forgiveness of sins and through Jesus Christ, and they get that greatest gift moment. And every child that receives a shoebox gets that. And that's basically what it's all about. There was one distribution I was at. There was a little boy, about 8, 9 years old. He went up front, and he recited the Lord's Prayer before the shoeboxes were passed out. Then after the shoeboxes were passed out, they got their boxes, and they were all going outside, and they were rushing through this little narrow doorway. There's like 200 kids trying to get through a little doorway to get outside, and I'm standing there because I like to see the kids' faces. And this little boy comes through, and he looks in my pocket, and I had a pen in my pocket, and he reaches in my pocket. He takes the pen out, and he looks at it, and he says, "Nice pen, thank you," and he's out the door. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. He just took my pen. Well, I'm standing there in the doorway. Kids are coming through, and I felt something on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was that little boy. And he had my pen, and he handed it to me, and he said, "I'm sorry, here's your pen back." And he bowed his head, and I picked his head up, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, "I want you to have this pen. It's a free gift to you because I love you. And most important, God loves you, and he forgives you." And the boy got big tears that went down his cheek. And I knew without a doubt that that kid got the message of salvation. And that was all possible because of a shoebox. He was there because of a shoebox. I was there because of a shoebox. And it's there because of people in Southeast Colorado and all around the world are packing shoeboxes to touch and impact these lives of children, to give them hope in a, like you say, a dark world out there. It gives them hope, and it gives them the message of salvation. And to me, that's what it's all about.
I agree with that, Richard. And to when you talk about all of around the world, I believe that I had a list of all the different countries that participate in this. I don't have it right in front of me now, but I'm pretty sure that Australia is involved, and Austria, and Japan, and Switzerland, I think, and Spain, and France, and the UK, and of course the United States. And the last I read was that worldwide there's 500,000 volunteers.
Yes.
150,000 of them are here in the United States. And of course those figures may not have been updated, so there may be more. And you had said that there are 100 million boxes that have been distributed. Last I read was actually up to 135 million.
Yeah,
I
think that's closer.
It's just amazing. I want to take a moment out here, Richard, just make folks aware. Sometimes on Blog Talk Radio, people come into a show and they're in the middle of it, so they don't know what in the world we're talking about. So let me just take a second out to let folks know that they are listening to Step Into the Light. I am the host of the show, Patty Sheen. I have a wonderful guest today, Richard Estep, who is the network coordinator for Operation Christmas Child here in southeastern Colorado. He's been sharing with us some of his experiences. He has come up through the ranks, so to speak, in the project, from packing boxes and taking them to the collection site to actually going on international trips to distribute the boxes. And he's been talking about the just amazing experiences that he has had and how these young children that literally have nothing are so blessed by this, and the gospel is shared with them, and it's a wonderful, wonderful project. On my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattySheene.com, I have a Blog Talk Radio tab, and under that tab is a website and social media page. If you go to that page, you will find references to a couple of websites that will give you even further information. One that has a video that's really inspiring and neat to watch. And also, if you missed any part of the show and you'd like to listen to it or you'd like to refer someone else to it, this show, you can go to the archive page on that website, pattysheen.com, and you will find this show and all of our shows. So please feel free to listen. So let's get back to Richard here. Richard, okay. they have a program, I guess you'd call it, that relates to the greatest gift, and I believe it's called The Greatest Journey.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. The Greatest Journey, they have the greatest gift that every child gets, and then a lot of them, not all of them, because there's an expense involved in this, and they figure it's about $6 per child for them to do this. And what The Greatest Journey is it's a 12-week discipleship program. And I would say right now, not quite half of every kid that gets a shoebox will have this opportunity, but they get the opportunity where they can sign up for a 12-week discipleship program in whichever local church they're at in their own country with local teachers. And they go to class once a week, and it's to make disciples of them, to help them make decisions for Christ and then make disciples so they can spread the word to their families and to other people. We've heard that we were at a graduation over there when they did it, and it's a big deal. This church, they had about 200 kids graduate in this graduation that they had, and they have their cap and gowns when they get their little diploma that they completed the discipleship program, and they get a New Testament Bible in whichever country it is, it's in their language. And these, for a lot of kids that never even go to school, this is a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, you know, they're so excited, and they'll stand up there and tell you, you know, now we have them tell them, you know, now I want to be a preacher. I want to go out and I want to spread the gospel. I want to help people. And it's because of that shoebox, The Greatest Gift, and then The Greatest Journey, the 12-week discipleship program to touch other people. One of the things, everybody knows, you know, the parable of the sower and the seed. And, you know, it says the seed is the word of God. And when that is sown, it returns 30, 60, 100-fold. And I really believe that the word of God is in these shoeboxes. And our goal, we're looking at 50,000 shoeboox out of southeastern Colorado. We're not going to make that goal this year, but we're looking in 2017, we're going to make that goal. Well, if you go on that principle, that means that we have spread the gospel and discipled anywhere from 1.5 to 5 million kids around the world, mm-hmm. just out of southeast Colorado. And, you know, I think that's a great thing that we can pat ourselves on the back and give the glory to God, you know, what's being done in this valley.
Absolutely. That's something that's almost beyond comprehension when you try
yes.
to think about it.
Yeah, it says
Richard,
in the Bible, you know, go ye therefore and make disciples. And I don't know how better job, you know, how you could do this any better than through Operation Christmas Child and the discipleship program.
I agree. Richard, are the boxes delivered to any non-Christian countries or even communist countries, or is that a
yes.
barrier that you just haven't
yeah,
been able to break
we've
through?
We've heard a lot of stories. Russia, we've spoken to kids who have gotten shoeboxes in orphanages in Russia, who what we call full circle. They received a box as a kid, received Christ, and now they are packing shoeboxes and spreading the word about Operation Christmas Child, and it's a full circle. There are a lot of countries, it's amazing, when they had the tsunamis here, you know, several years ago, those countries, Muslim countries, they asked Franklin Graham to send them shoeboxes because they needed something for their people to give them hope.
Wow.
And so, you know, the gospel goes everywhere. You can't hide
and
your
light never
under
any
a bushel.
Fear. Right.
Go ahead.
And there's never any fear of, like, government police intervention in a negative way with the distributions?
There are always those fears, but it is just amazing how God works, and I think it's because of the prayer involved and the logistics. They have never really had any major incidents of any kind when it comes to, you know, getting into gang things or war things or government things. They've never had really any major conflict where they've had a problem with getting the shoeboxes there. I think the thing is so saturated for prayer, and God has opened the way that it just goes into these countries and it works. And I don't know how it does. It's bigger than all of us. It works
yes.
because God's in it. So.
Well, praise him for that. That's for darn sure.
Yes.
Richard, the premise of this show is, like I said at the beginning of the show, we bring people on who either have been through a dark time and come back to light somehow, or who bring light to people through their ministry, which obviously you do. There's no doubt about that with the Christmas Child program. But I would like to know, has there ever been a dark time through all this when you just kind of felt like things were too difficult, or there was just kind of some logistics issues and you thought, man, how are we going to get through this? Or have you never experienced that?
Oh yeah, you experience that all the time, and it's well, you can almost associate it with business. You've got things to do. You're dealing with public. You're dealing with people. You've got all the rules and regulations, and you've got to go through all these things. And sometimes you just want to throw. You know, is it really worth it? You know, am I really mm-hmm. making a difference? But then, like I say, when you see the videos, when you see children's faces, when you hear testimonies of children who have received shoeboxes. And you have to realize that it's bigger than me. It's not about me. And that kind of, you know, puts it in a different perspective. There was a boy that we met. He was at the processing center last year. If you get to go up there, you'll get to hear a lot of testimonies from people. He was from Mexico. He received a box when he was about 9 years old. In Mexico, where he was at, basically to live, to survive, you had to join a gang. So when he was 14, 15 years old, he was getting into the gang thing. He was into the stuff on the streets, the violence, the drugs, the stealing, conning, whatever you could do. This one gang that he really wanted to be in, because this was the big gang. This was the best one to be in. He really wanted to be in this gang. One of the things you had to do to be in this gang is you had to kill someone. He thought he was prepared to do that. And when it came time to do it, he remembered that shoebox. He remembered the greatest gift, and he couldn't bring himself to do it. And he turned his life around and went back to Christ because of that seed that was planted. And I mean, this kid was in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
When he returned to Christ, and now he basically is going around the country telling his story, telling what God has done for him, you know, what he came out of, and discipling and ministering to other youth. I think he's 22 or 24 years old, I believe now. He still has the little stuffed animal that he received in that shoebox and still takes it with him everywhere he goes because it reminds him of where he was at and where he was going and how the love of God changed that. And so he still carries that little stuffed animal with him everywhere he goes. So that's coming out of a dark place. The places that I go to and the little trials and tribulations that I have are, you know, mean nothing compared to what some of these children have to go through to
mm-hmm.
survive. And I just praise God that there is hope for them, and this shoebox can show them that hope.
That I love your stories, Richard. I could just talk to you all morning about the different things that you've experienced. I would like to know, how do you determine that every child in every area is going to receive a box? Has there ever been a shortage and there has to be like a cutoff determination?
You know, there is a major shortage. Where I was at in Zambia, the country has 25 million population. They figure there is close to 17 million children there between the age of 2 to 14. That's the ones that receive boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that country, 17 million.
Goodness.
You know, they, on their allotment, they received 362,000 shoeboxes this year. So you can tell that didn't hit them all. And every year, as kids get older, you have more kids coming into this, you know, who could receive a box. And so they have
sure.
to, logistics, they have to figure out, and they go to the churches, and they let the local churches and people send out the invitations. We don't do that. The local people do that because they know where the needs are in their community and who gets them. But there are always kids who do not receive boxes. At every distribution, we were on about 20 distributions that I was involved with, and we probably passed out around 2,500 to 3,000 shoeboxes out of that 362,000. Every distribution that I was at, there was a minimum, I'd say, of over 100 children outside that didn't receive a shoebox.
Oh, how sad.
The very last distribution that I went to, we were all lined up. These were the last boxes in Zambia. Out of the 362,000, these were the very last boxes we were just distributing. We got all through distributing the boxes. And praise God, there were 9 boxes left. We could do 9 more children. And I thought, what a great thing. So the pastor, he went to the back door. And, of course, this church didn't have walls, so all these kids outside knew that there was 9 more kids were going to get to come in. And so they were all at the door, and they're holding their hands up. Me, 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 me.
Oh, my
goodness. And the pastor goes to the back door, and he says, you, 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 and you. And that was great. 9 more children got to receive a box. But I looked at all those other kids. There must have been at least 150 kids plus parents out there that their kids didn't get a shoebox. And I saw the looks on their faces. I couldn't even stay for the distribution. I just had to go out back and just cry and pray. And I thought, we need more shoeboxes. That's all there is to it. Somehow we need to touch these kids. And I just praise God for what's being done. But there can be so much more because there are so many kids out there who do not receive a shoebox.
Wow. Oh, that is heartbreaking, Richard. You're making me want to cry here just listening to you.
Yeah, I just praise God that I'm never faced with, you know, the thing where I'm going to have to choose that these 9 get them and the rest of them don't. You know, my heart goes out to those people, you know, the leadership teams in these other countries having to pick who gets the shoebox and who doesn't. My heart really goes out to them.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God that they're willing. Somebody has to do it, and I just thank God that they're willing to shoulder that responsibility. Because I don't think I could handle it. So,
yeah, I don't think I could either. I'm thinking of all these kids, and of course, I'm thinking of it since I've never been to another country, and the perspective of the way American kids behave, which is totally irrelevant, actually. But I do wonder: do the kids ever look to each other and say, "Oh, wow, hey, I like your pencils better than mine. Can we trade?"
No, it's not really like that. Like that? Most of these kids have never received a gift. It's amazing. My wife, when I believe it was Columbia, at the distribution, she was there. They got down to the end, and they had just some girl boxes left, and all they had was, and they had a few boys. So these boys got girl boxes. And my wife said, you know, they were really upset. You know, these boys are going to get girls' boxes, and they're going to be all bummed out because they're getting, and she said, this one boy that she was helping unpack his box, he was opening his box, and he said, oh, this is a neat doll. My sister would like this, and oh, look at this comb and these hair ribbons. My mom will like this. They just have a different attitude, and it just touches you. They're willing to share and to do things. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I've read a few books that really hit home the point that people in other countries are so grateful for so little.
Yeah.
And here we are so ungrateful for just ridiculously amount of too much.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, there's nothing against having things, but there are people that need things that to us are just trivial and we don't even think about.
And, exactly.
You know, it's like I say, it's a shoebox, and there are neat things in there, but it's not about the shoebox. It's about that there is hope and letting these kids know that there are people in the world that do care about them and do love them, and there is a Savior out there and a God who loves them and cares about them.
Most definitely. We talked
to one girl. She was from a war-torn country close to Russia, and she said she had alligator shoes. Her shoes, the soles were off of her shoes, and her mom would wrap bread sacks around her feet for her to walk to school in the snow because of her shoes. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed that somehow she would get a new pair of shoes. Well, she got a shoebox, and there was a brand new pair of tennis shoes in there. And they told her the greatest gift of Jesus Christ. And she said, I knew there was a God, and this was a Muslim, basically a Muslim country. And she said, I was always praying to God to get a pair of shoes. And she said, I always knew a God, but I never knew his name. And now I know his name. It's Jesus Christ. And I thought that was a great story right there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Richard, when you and your wife or whoever go on these trips to other countries, do you incur the expense yourself?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. People donated. We worked at the processing center last year, and we got paid for that, and all of our expenses got covered. But, you know, most of this is all volunteer work. There are paid staff, and there are paid some in the leadership, main leadership team, but most of the volunteers, probably 99% of the volunteers, are never paid. This is, you know, coming out of your own pocket, and it's because, mm-hmm. you know, that you're wanting to give to others, and that's what it's all about. All of our volunteers here in Southeast Colorado, like Betty in Los Animas and all the towns where we have the Relay Center coordinators and the media people and the community people and the people on the prayer teams, these are all unpaid positions, and the same in the other countries. They're all unpaid positions. We spoke to a pastor from Central America, and they said, well, what if you got paid for this? And he said, well, if I got paid for it, then I wouldn't be working for God anymore. I'd be working for them. So I thought that was a great way to put it. So,
exactly. Well, I wanted to emphasize to listeners again that there's any number of different ways that you can help with this project. Betty says, I haven't checked, but Betty says you can even fill a box online.
You can, you sure can
go and, I guess, mark the items that you would like to have in a box and give them your credit card number, and they'll go buy it for you and pack it.
That's right. They have that opportunity. And then, a lot of people just donate items to pack in boxes. We have people that just donate money and want us to pack a box for them, and we do that, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know I've gotten to the place where I'm not much of a shopper anymore. I don't think I brought this up earlier. If I did, I apologize for repeating myself. But anymore, I give Betty the Samaritan's Purse, I write the check to Samaritan's Purse to cover the shipping, because there's some people that feel like, well, I've packed three or four boxes, they can pay for the shipping. they don't realize.
That's true.
So
there are a lot of small
organizations. I go ahead and I just write her a check to cover, several boxes being shipped out.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of small organizations that don't have the money for shipping. They have nursing homes that do boxes. Well, they don't have a lot of money, but God works it out.
then you have
somebody that will donate.
You then have people like Betty who are organized way beyond anything I could ever imagine. And they literally, from the 1st of January through until collection week, they check out all the sales. Some people will, pack 10 or 15 boxes every year. And what they do, they buy toothpaste and toothbrushes 1 month. And then the next month, they buy some other hygiene supplies. And then the next month, they buy the school supplies. And, I mean, there are people that are really, really organized about doing this, and they're wholeheartedly committed to the project, and that's why it works. Part of the reason that it works, is because of that dedication of the person in the average home. So if it's something you have never heard of or something that you are considering getting involved in, there's just a number of different ways. And also, not all of these boxes, listeners may be wondering, are delivered on Christmas Day. That's an impossibility. Some of them don't get to the end point until May, June, even July. Is that correct, Richard?
Yes, and that's true. The logistics of shipping and the time, it'll start in December, but it usually goes through May, the 1st of June. But then there are year-round distributions. The processing center in Boone, North Carolina is open year-round, and they're always doing boxes. And then when they have things like tsunamis, floods, volcanoes, they try to get to those countries and pass out shoe boxes to the kids. I know Franklin Graham, they did shoe boxes in Syria to the refugee camps and stuff in Iraq in different places. Mm-hmm. And that goes on year round. So it's a Christmas thing, but it does go on year round because, you know, Christmas is year round to us. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, the video that I'm going to put the link to on my website shows how these boxes are distributed to just about every kind of transportation you could think of, you know, from big airplanes to canoe to different kinds of boats to even some of these boxes are packed in on donkeys and people pack them in on their heads. The different cultures that actually transport things on top of their heads, they balance these huge boxes. It was amazing. It was a neat video to watch. So I hope the folks will take advantage of that when I put that URL up there. It was a really interesting video. Richard, like I said, I could talk to you all morning, but it's about time. Do you have anything else you would like to share with us? Any other stories that come to mind that you're thinking, man, I wish I had shared that story, or any other information you'd like to share with our listeners this morning? Hello? I lost him. Let me see if I can get my guest back here.
Yeah, this is Richard, and I'm sorry I missed you, so leave a message, and I'll call you back. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options to leave a callback number.
Richard, if you're listening, you can call me back at 646-564-9712. So we'll hold the line for a minute and see if maybe Richard gets back with us. I'm not sure what happened on the board here, but all of a sudden he was just gone, and I apologize to listeners. But in the meantime, I would like to reemphasize the importance of this project, how it's such a simple way to bring light and hope and life to children all over the world. If you've ever had a heart for people that have less than you, a whole lot less than you, then this is definitely a way to reach out. Well, I'm not hearing from Richard, so I want to thank him for his time this morning. It was wonderful visiting with him. He had so much to share with us. And if you have any questions about Operation Christmas Child, feel free to call me. I will give you any further information that I can, or send me an email. My email is Patty, P-A-T-T-I dot Sheen, S-A-G-N-E at gmail.com. And I hope you enjoyed the show this morning. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you back here again next week. God bless you all.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a